This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Lots of things to cover around Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So last week, information came out from the Interior Department regarding a notice of intent to initiate the development of a revised Bureau of Land Management plan governing 2.5 million acres of ONC timberlands in western Oregon. That got a lot of attention, but not everybody totally understands it. And we're going to kind of let you kind of shake through the information, let people know what's going on.
Well, a lot of people ask me, you know, what is ONC lands? Why is it so important to Douglas County? So ONC lands are a very unique set of lands that are congressionally designated here in western Oregon. They're named after the Oregon-California Railroad Company, which often confuses people to think maybe these lands are also in California, but they're not. They're only in 18 western counties, and they were lands that were once owned in the private sector and that they were taken back from the railroad because of the way they were granted. The railroad company didn't follow all the aspects of the grant. In 1937, Congress, after trying to sell the lands a couple more times, finally decided to keep them, and in 1937 passed the ONC Act, which basically put the federal government in the timber business. These lands are approximately every square mile, and they're intermixed with industrial private timber lands, and they're a dominant use land, unlike other public lands that are multiple use. These lands are dominant use for the purpose of timber production, and they're supposed to be managed under the principles of sustained yield. Sustained yield is a forestry term that means never harvest in any given year more than what will grow. So it really is one of the very first conservation acts ever passed by Congress. So these ONC lands are really important to Douglas County because the ONC Act has a provision that shares the timber receipts, the value of the timber when it's sold, with counties. As a matter of fact, the ONC Act calls for counties to get 75%. I was on your show a few weeks back talking how that had dropped down to 50, and now we have it back up to 75. So we're fully back on the 75%, and that is all 18 counties get a portion of that, and then there's a formula. And of all the 18 counties, Douglas County gets the most, regardless of where the timber is harvested. So it's incredibly important to Douglas County. It's historically been a huge revenue stream to provide important county services, senior services, veteran services, law enforcement, public safety, and really all portions of our general fund services have a part of ONC dollars in them.
So anytime you have a formula change like that, I mean, it sounds like this really, I mean, dollars and cents could have a big impact.
Well, so the formula change was really important. So the formula change is done. That's already laws passed. So what this does is this changes this revision in the resource management plan, changes the amount of timber that the BLM will be able to harvest off of the ONC lands. And really, one of the reasons I spend so much time on this specific issue is because historically, and even right now, one of our largest funding streams into our general fund is timber receipts. So that had been replaced with secure rural schools. That secure rural school bill had expired. So the last several years, and matter of fact, our last payment was exclusively timber receipts. So, but we've now reached a point, even with the 50% before the change, where the timber receipts have exceeded the secure rural school amount. So, you know, I get asked, well, what kind of money are we talking about? So in federal fiscal year 25, when you do the math, Douglas County would have received on timber receipts about $8.25 million at the 50%. So that's north of $12 million at the 75%. Now, the 75% doesn't take effect till fiscal year 25, so the fiscal year we're in right now. So that $12 million, as an example, is almost what all the property tax that Douglas County collects for county government is in a year. So it's almost equal to the entire property tax all property taxpayers in Douglas County pay. And that's at a very small harvest amount. So approximately 250 million board feet. These lands grow 1.2 billion board feet a year. And the historical levels approach a billion board feet. Again, that still leaves additional timber on the land. So they're wildly productive lands. So I ran the math real quick. So if this year, if this federal fiscal year 26, they harvested approximately 250 million board feet, that's $12 million. If they double that, again, under the current plan, they can get to almost 500. The president has directed them to harvest, you know, to the maximum they can. That's $24 million coming to Douglas County. If this revision that they're working on, I'll explain a little bit about what this Department of Interior memo they sent out and notice is, but basically it's a revision to the resource management plan that'll allow them to harvest more timber. If they get all the way up to 62% of the annual growth, that's 750 million board feet. That's approximately $36 million coming to Douglas County. If they happen to get to a billion, that's $48 million. Dollars a year coming to Douglas County. And remember, last year's Skirrill school payment is $7.5 million. So you can see how come this is so important and how come I work on it so much. It's exponentially increasing now that we're at 75%. And it's really the only solution large enough to make sure we can continue to provide services. That there's more timber, there's over 50% more timber on ONC lands in Western Oregon in these 18 counties. There's over 50% more timber on the land today than when they started managing in 1937. So these lands are overstocked. There's a tremendous demand for the wood. There's a bunch of reasons why they're not able to get to it. And over the last 10 years of the resource management plan, many of the problems in the resource management plan that was adopted in 2016 have come to light. So I get asked what's wrong with the current plan. Well, the first thing is they took a snapshot in time and said, okay, 80% of this land we're going to put in a reserve and never touch it, as if the land wasn't going to continue to grow timber and become overstocked. Well, we've seen catastrophic wildfires, we've seen overstocking, we've seen bug and drought kill quite a bit of the timber on these lands. So all of a sudden, it's pretty obvious that the way we're doing it isn't working. And forests are very dynamic, timberlands even more so, because these are not a big contiguous forest. They're a square mile block, and what happens on the neighboring properties dramatically affect these properties. So when these timberlands are looked at, they need to be managed, you know, in a more cohesive way with the lands around them, and actually can create a lot of the values people want if they manage them that way. So the resource management plan and why it needs revision, really, it talks about in the press release from Department of Interior, it talks about changing conditions, it talks about wildfire, it talks about the economies. These lands were designed to provide jobs and industry expectations so that people in our rural communities would have a job, and you know, the timber products industry is very important for Western Oregon, for especially in the rural parts of Western Oregon. And it talks about wildfire, and it does talk about habitat. It's proven by not managing them, the habitat has degraded for the species they're trying to recover.
Let me ask you about the potential with this decision and the information that came out, that this is going to get challenged, though, or go into some kind of litigation.
Well, it's interesting. Under the current resource management plan, we are currently in litigation. So there's nothing about a resource management plan that stops the people that have this vision of take a snapshot of the landscape and it's never going to change, you know, never cut a tree. And that group's out there and they're continuing to file lawsuits. So that's not going to change with this resource management plan. What will change is what the BLM's expectations are for the lands. And instead of the extreme environmental groups suing on, you know, what is 20% of the land being managed, it will likely, when the revision gets done, there'll be a whole lot less reserves, and it'll give the BLM a lot more area to look for projects that have less opportunity to be sued on. Now, to be clear, they're doing a revision. There was a concern early on, and this is something the Association of ONC Counties, myself, had talked to the acting director of the National BLM about. They had originally talked about doing an amendment. And in the amendment process, there's some things they can do. But really what needed to happen is the purpose and needs statement in the 2016 RMP, it does not match the 1937 ONC Act, and it's so narrow, they weren't, you know, the scoping was so narrow, they weren't able to do what they're supposed to do. So a revision basically is a rewrite, and it actually says in the notice, it talks about replacing the current plan. So this revision is slated to do more than just amend a few sections. It's going to be a rewrite.
All right, we're going to talk more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Ed Deal, Republican candidate for governor on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. County Commissioner Tim Freeman in here today talking about timberland and changes made by the federal level of the government. The question, though, that always comes along, this shift is made now. A couple years, there's going to be a different president. Who knows which party it'll be? What happens when it shifts again, if it does?
Well, certainly, any given administration can choose to change plans. I will tell you, history shows resource management plans usually are in place for a while. This one's been in place almost 10 years. The one prior to that was in place for much longer than that. So it's quite the process to initiate, redoing a plan, and it's quite a lot of work. And I think there's a recognition really from everybody that the current plan doesn't meet all the goals that it was supposed to meet. As an example, the current plan contemplated no more than 5,000 acres of fire in any given year on the ONC, over 2 million acres. Well, we've seen multiple years of that, and the current plan allows no salvage of very valuable publicly owned timber after the fire. And that's proven to be a really bad idea. It talks about fire salvage in the notice, along with other disruptions, whether that be flood, bug kill, drought, taking the valuable dead trees and timber off of there and using some of that money to replant new trees and get the timberlands being productive. So there's a lot of that's part of when you have a plan in place and you kind of evaluate it and see how well it did. And, even by all accounts, the spotted owls declining at a much greater rate than it did before this plan went into place. And a lot of that has to do with a predator owl. So they'll have to do some work around how to figure that out. So there's lots of reasons why it's the appropriate thing to do. And, this NEPA process really is, it has started, of course, by the administration, but the people that work at the BLM and Fish and Wildlife and others are the ones that put the plan together. So it's really not partisan people or administrative people that do the plan. It is really the people that are the experts in land management.
And when you say NEPA, you might want to explain what that means.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, the National Land Policy Management Act. So it is the roadmap on how to do plans. It involves a bunch of different processes, including one, Douglas County, through our connection to the Association of ONC Counties and my role as president, we are right now in the Douglas County will join the rest of the counties and designate the Association of ONC Counties as our cooperating agent in the process of the National Environmental Policy Act work and the rewrite of this RMP. They're required to have what's called cooperating agencies, and there's only a very narrow scope of those people that can do that work or organizations, and local governments happen to be one of those. So we were involved, the Association of ONC Counties was involved last time, and we will be involved in this, and I will, as the president, attend a lot of the meetings and help present the information that they need to have and how managing these lands relates to counties, county governments, county services, and the economies, especially in rural Oregon, but in all 18 counties. Our ONC counties start in Multnomah County, go all the way down, down I-5 or down the railroad, which is the ONC railroad, all the way down to Jackson County. So that's really the path. But we talk a lot about the rural counties just because of our historical dependence on these timber receipts.
Now, you've been the president of the Association of ONC Counties for a long time. That's got to create a kind of a long-term knowledge of everything involved here, but it seems like it would take a lot of extra work on top of just being a county commissioner as well.
Yeah, it certainly is a commitment, you know, beyond an extra to being, you know, one of the county commissioners or one of the administrators at the county. However, this is such an important issue, and my fellow commissioners are really good about supporting me in this work. The good news is a lot of this work happens now with Zoom calls. Prior, it was conference calls prior to the pandemic, and it all happens early. So I'm able to do it. Washington, D.C. is 3 hours ahead of us, so I'm able to do a lot of the, you know, the back east work early in the morning, you know, prior to needing to start at the courthouse. So it is certainly a commitment, but and it has been also a tremendous, you know, learning curve. I've took over, you know, Doug Robertson was the president of the association for 25 years, and then we had a gentleman that was there just a few years, and he didn't return as a commissioner, so it created a vacancy. So, but yeah, that you know, the 10 years, I'm in my 10th year of being president, another full year on the board, and almost about 9 months before that on the board. So, you know, those years of learning and that knowledge helps you when you're having these meetings and talking to people and trying to get policymakers up to speed. These lands are so unique. They're only in 18 counties in one state, in Oregon. So when you start talking to folks in Washington, D.C. or members of Congress, you literally have to realize that they don't know what this means, and you have to educate them on it. So I've had to learn a lot about it. We do have, you know, full-time staff at the ONC. We have an executive director, and we have a lawyer, and we've got people that are experts in the way the lands are managed and planning processes. And so I have a lot of support doing this. And we also have other partners. So as you imagine, you know, these lands are important to county governments because of the funding to provide services. But we also recognize how important they are to the people that live here because of the jobs that are in the wood products industry. But the industry itself has organizations that help with having this conversation. So right here in Douglas County, one of the premier industries that talks about federal land management is the Douglas Timber Operators. And Matt Hill, he's an expert in all this. He worked in Congress for a long time. And then we have AFRC, American Forest Resource Council, and they are I think they're five states, and they're an industry trade group. And Travis Joseph is their executive director, and he works out of Lane County, out of Eugene. And he worked in Congress as a staffer for a long time also. And those people are very helpful in this work, too, in those organizations. And then, of course, we have the Association of ONC Counties has representation we pay for in D.C. that, you know, is back there every single day working on this issue for us. So we have a lot of people helping us, but me understanding it, knowing it, being able to explain to other elected officials at the federal level and quite honestly here in Oregon what these lands are capable of doing and why it's important has been, you know, one of those things that I've had to learn and I spend a lot of time doing.
Well, and, you know, I was just thinking the technology really makes a difference. I mean, back in the day, talking to Doug Robertson about the next trip to D.C. and the next trip to D.C., and now most of this can be done on Zoom.
Yeah, so, my first, you know, quite a few years as president, I traveled to D.C. two or three times, maybe four times a year, depending on the year. Now, you know, maybe once a year. You know, I went once last year, but I've had the opportunity to be on a Zoom call with each of the acting national directors of the BLM. Normally, I'd have to fly all the way to D.C., you know, get checked into the Department of Interior building, which is a big process through security, you know, for what would be a half an hour meeting. You know, you'd spend all that time and energy and money to do that. Now we're able to do it, you know, much easier and much quicker. There is times when you have to be face-to-face, and, you know, literally the 75% work that we did in that legislation, one of the chairs of the committee was from Idaho. I drove to Idaho to meet with him in his office there. So face-to-face matters, although I will tell you for these agency meetings that are going to be a half an hour or, you know, something you want to do more often, the Zoom stuff's working very well.
But, well, less than a minute left here. What's ahead for this process next?
Well, really, I think... right now, we're gathering all the counties, all the ONC counties. They've got to sign some documentation that assigns the Association of ONC Counties to be the designee for their cooperating agency status. We're doing that work right now. Sort of the first first step was the 75%, now the resource management plan. And the last thing, and we'll announce this maybe later today or tomorrow morning, we'll send a press release out. We've got a piece of legislation that's going to be introduced or has been introduced. We'll start talking about it here today or tomorrow that really restates the ONC Act a little more clearly, much like we believed it already says, and really mirrors what we filed our federal lawsuit on. So that's sort of the third step of this. And right now we feel like we're having quite a bit of success. Again, my fellow commissioners are wildly supportive, and I appreciate all the help they give me.
All right, more on that soon. County Commissioner Tim Freeman, thanks for coming in. 1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.